Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 92 of the Emerald Flow Show. I'm Gerard here with Paul. We're just going to skip the usual spiel at the beginning and just get right down to obviously what everyone has been, you know, talking about and are definitely aware of at this point is just the tragic passing of Taishin Nagao. I mean, we knew he was still in like critical care, but it still kind of snuck up. I thought, okay, well, look, he might never wrestle again, but I did not expect this. And it sounds like from the information that we got that he got sepsis, and then the decision was his family made the decision to take him off life support, only, you know, so young. So, I mean, I don't even know what to think of this, Paul. It was just completely shocking. And one of those, I mean, this would be pretty shocking deaths in wrestling, but I mean, this one, in terms of affecting me, is up there.
It's like he's 21, right? Like it's,
yeah,
like his life had just started, really. Like from what it sounds like, his injuries were pretty severe, but like I don't like, because for me the thing was like I like at first I was like, oh, he's in the intensive care unit or whatever, and that's going to be bad. Like, right, like when we first heard of it, like my thing was more like, oh, that's bad. Like, hopefully he can like recover from that and everything. And then we'll see where we're at. And then we didn't really hear anything for a while. And then it became like, oh, he's still in the ICU. And at that point I was like, oh, this has to be like at this point I was like, okay, his career is over, because like most likely, because like if he's still there after like a month or so, I think it was at that point, I was like, oh, that's bad. But like, even throughout all of that, like I never thought that it was still a situation of he could die.
Right.
Like that just like, I don't know, like you never think of like somebody that young being like obviously they can, like everybody at any point really kind of can die, but you never think of somebody that like at 21, that they can die. Like they almost seem like invincible in a weird way. And
or at least like, you know, be permanently injured but not die.
Die,
you know.
Yeah, it's just a tragedy. Like it's just
a complete tragedy.
Yeah. Like there's so much he could have done. Even let's say if like the injuries like would have like left him unable to continue his career. There's so much more he could have done with his life. There's so much more he could have like experienced, and now there's just nothing, just an empty void, and it's awful. Like, it's just awful. Like, also for all of the people left behind, and just like from what we've heard of it, it seems like a good, like most of the roster kind of saw it happen too.
I mean, right? My God, Zion is making me cry.
Oh yeah, yeah, with him coming out there, and like it seems like he was really close to him.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm sure he was like, Taisha was like, you got to watch the Ford.
Yeah. Know? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, of course, yeah, of course. But still, like, it seems like, yeah, it's, yeah. I also don't really know what to say, to be honest. It's just,
I don't want to get into like too much.
No.
High speculation, but what do you assess, at least reasonably, from the information that we have learned? Obviously, you know, Dave Meltzer has had stuff, and it's pretty clear who he's getting that from. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, okay, I'll just put my cards on the table, what I believe. I think most of what we've heard in English seems reasonable. And any discrepancies that are coming from Davey Boy Smith Jr., who's clearly mm-hmm. he was talking to, is mm-hmm. more like Davey Boy Smith Jr. not being the sharpest knife in the drawer, as opposed to outright lying to Dave.
Yes. So, but my thing is, like, to me, from everything I've heard of it, it seems like a freak accident.
Yes.
Like, right. Like, what we've heard is that he's like, he was basically, like, ironically enough, he was like basically waving the bus out of the parking lot and like to prevent somebody accidentally getting run over by the bus. And
it was in the rain.
Yeah. Slipped on a puddle, and the bus driver, for some reason, didn't do what you're supposed to do, which is stop if you can't see the spotter. If you can't see the spotter, don't drive backwards. That's why the spotter is there. And he didn't do that, and so he ran him over, is basically what it sounds like.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're being a spotter, you've got to be, you're probably a certain, you're not right beside the bus. So this driver must have had his foot on the gas for like several seconds.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Nagao just like literally right being beside the bus and getting hit by one like, you know, sudden movement.
Yeah.
There must have been some sort of like move that's, you know, to some. Anyway, I don't want to get into the speculation too much, but it does seem like a driver error from what we know.
Yeah, it does sound like that. And in terms of,
you know,
in terms of communication from All Japan, it is an active police investigation. It's a medical issue. Japanese companies, as they are very tight-lipped when it comes to this stuff.
I was going to say, yes. I mean, I'm not going to try to let All Japan off the hook, especially with, you know, Fukuda being a weird guy. But I think especially people in North America have to understand that other countries, Japan famously, but also France is also very much known for this. They have really strict privacy regulations. So this idea that you're going to get like these detailed medical updates like you would for maybe, I don't know, the President of the United States releases his medical checkup every year. You don't get that other places.
No.
Yeah. You know, celebrities will keep you updated with their medical, some anyway, will keep you updated with their medical situation. Some are private. But there's just a more willingness, openness, I think, in North America. And I think that sort of confused. I don't know. Europe might be different, but I know France is pretty, Europe in general, but I know France is pretty strict about this.
And I mean, that's the other thing where it's like, well, All Japan might not have known what his actual like medical situation is, because, okay, again, I don't know what the rules are in Japan, but again, in Germany, I don't have to tell my company what my medical situation is. Just like, they're not even allowed to ask me. Yes, I just can't. I just have to say I'm in the hospital. I don't need to tell them why I'm in the hospital, right? Like, that's private. That's private. So again, it's up. Like, I can tell them if I want to. Like, there's nothing stopping me from telling them, but I don't have to tell them. They don't have a right to ask me why I'm in the hospital. Like, if they ask me, that actually would be grounds for like an actual lawsuit on my end, basically, if the company were to ask me why I'm in the hospital.
Yeah. So, as a result of this, All Japan has now contracted out their transportation, and they got rid of the bus, I think.
Yeah, they got rid of the bus. It's all going to be like, because basically the bus was theirs, but the driver wasn't. The driver was hired externally.
But he had been a couple years.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now they got rid of the bus, and it's only going to be like they are going to hire like a bus service basically to like drive them around everywhere now.
Well, I mean, it sort of makes sense given that their schedule is not what it once was.
So yeah, that's the other thing. Like
the savings of owning a bus might be negligible at this
point. Yeah. And I mean, for example, like that also means like for example, you can now like hire like a local bus as well, right? Like you can actually like you don't have to take the bus all around the country anymore. You could actually in theory just like take the train and then just hire a local bus service that picks you up from the train station and drives you to like where you need to go.
Well, you got
to
move the ring. Oh, that's
probably... No, that wasn't going to be in a bus. Yeah, that's a truck.
Yeah, yeah.
That's separate right. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So Fukuda held a press conference that they didn't announce on their website, but they told the press because like Nikon Sports and Tokyo Sports were like All Japan's having a press conference about Nagao on last Friday, but it was not on their website that this press conference was happening. Yep. So they filed, so it's ongoing police investigation, although I don't know when this police investigation started, if it's always been ongoing or if it started once he passed away. But it seems, I don't know how these things work. But it's on, so there, but there is a police investigation. They filed a report with United Japan, I guess. I don't know, maybe to sort of cover their asses if the government comes sniffing.
Yeah, that one was the weirdest one. I don't know why. Yeah, I guess maybe that's the thing because it's supposed to be the lobby group. So.
Yeah. And I think Fukuda said that, like, you know, we're prepared that there may be a wrongful death lawsuit also, yeah. Which, well, Fukuda's got to pay out of his pocket. Basically.
Yeah. And doesn't seem unreasonable, to be quite honest. Like, it's well, like, it's, like so. Who's at fault will have to be established, but like, very you know, clearly something went wrong here.
Is the, yeah. The could, you know, I mean, it will have to be proven that the company should have done more due diligence on this driver.
Yes, they should have vetted it. Like, it's not like Fukuda. Like, it's not like Fukuda was behind the wheel. Yeah, but should have. I don't know how far they actually vetted this guy or if this was just a dude that somebody knew where they didn't even really vet, like, what bus this guy actually, like, knew how to drive or whatever.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I mean, that's the most of the actual news updates. We'll get to the tribute show, which was also very moving a little later. This is, I almost feel like bad talking about it because like it's, he died, but it's also a huge blow to the company itself. And, you know, I've also enjoyed All Japan, since his passing and it continues to look good. So I just feel really weird about this.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's like, it, to some degree, like, I mean, not, yeah, like it's, yeah. I don't think I ever really like, pithy thing to say, to be honest on this.
Yeah, no, I don't. I just feel weird because
yeah,
you know, it's like I wanted to be, I don't know, more angry, but I just sat down and watched these shows and had a good time, so it just made me feel weird. I don't know what else to say. You know, it's
yeah, yeah,
because at a lot of times also, like, you know, there's the especially because of the way the show was, like the tournament finals is a very different feeling than like a more traditional tribute show that someone passes on, like the Atsushi Aoki memorial show.
Yeah.
Which was designed all around him.
Yeah.
As opposed to this show being about Kento, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That I sometimes think like how we would have covered it if he had the podcast, like, yeah, for like the Aoki thing or like, God forbid, for like Misawa.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably would have been like an equally weird feeling coming on to talk about that too.
Yeah. So we'll then continue. I've also obviously rest in peace to Taishi Nagao. And my heart goes out to his family and everybody in the company who are clearly devastated. Wasn't there long, but he clearly had a big impact on these people.
Yeah.
So we'll quickly talk about what we missed last week, and I can't believe I missed this because I loved it. But at on Dangerous Gate on I think August 17th, we had Asuki Yagi, Ryo Inoue, and Yuma Aoyagi defeating Dragon Kid Yamato and the rookie Kazuma Kimura in 1654 when Inoue made Kimura submit to the crab hold. Paul, this was like just good vibes in a promotional match, like, you know, with the young boys providing the hate and the passion.
I mean, I can imagine. I mean, Dragon Gate is always pretty good at these like six-man tags. Yeah. Like, do you think it's gonna, like, do you think it was just a one-off, or do you think it's gonna lead to like anything more?
Well, Doi's got his was it 20th anniversary show?
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's coming
in October, and it's going to be All Japan versus Dragon Gate, and they announced Kimura versus Inoue.
Ooh, okay. I mean, that actually should be interesting.
Yeah, so that feud continues. And it's weird because I thought the Aoyagi brothers shtick hits a little different in Dragon Gate.
I mean, it fits, like, because it's a bit more of a Zania promotion in general, right?
Yes.
So I think it fits a bit better there.
I mean, Aoyagi was doing comedy, but it was also a little more serious because he was also trying to get a rise out of the Dragon Gate fans.
I mean, he's also, I assume, was by far the largest guy in the ring as well.
Yes, he was. So he was playing the dick heel comedy instead of like a buffoon.
Yeah, which I think that actually works quite well.
Yes, it's better comedy for him. So I just wanted to touch on that because that was a great match. You should seek it out if you haven't seen it yet, and it's obviously going to lead to Doi anniversary show, which I think will be really great. And I have no clue if how to watch it
because probably going to be on
Dragon Gate Network.
Maybe. I mean, that would be the easiest one. But
I wonder if it would even air live on Gayora, since All Japan and Dragon Gate are both Gayora companies.
Yeah, or it's going to air on some weird service we've never heard of before.
Yes. And so we move on to Big Japan, which just had a show at Korakuen Hall on September 14th in front of 603 fans. I believe that's up a little bit. So good for Big Japan.
By like 100, yeah.
Yeah. I only watched three matches on the show. Paul, did you see any of this?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. By the way, I might also now skip the December Korakuen for Big Japan and go to Great instead, because Big Japan also runs Korakuen January 31st. So I might go to that one instead.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well see Great while it still is.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, this might be my last chance to see them. So And since I will now get to see Big Japan on the 31st at the very least, then yeah, I might as well just do Great instead. See if there's even still tickets available, actually.
So the match that I watched was, I watched three. So it was the second match of the show, which is Sota Manji and Kazumasu Yoshida defeating Leighton Buzzard and Jacob Crane in 9:15 with the Black Rain from Daimonji on Crane. And it's a lot of fun. Just a good, solid, hard-hitting tag match. Daimonji is really still one of the most underrated wrestlers on the planet.
Yeah.
And he's in two of the least watched companies in Japan.
That's the thing. Yeah. I think that might be the main reason why he should, I don't know why he isn't getting picked up by bigger promotions.
Well, I wonder if there is heat between Sai and Lands End in All Japan, but
maybe, yeah,
there may be, but Noah should give him a look.
Yeah, for sure.
He could be a Team 2000X.
Yeah. I think he would be perfect fit for that.
Yeah. And then after that, I watched the top two matches. So for the Big Japan Junior Heavyweight title, Kosuke Sato defeated Isami Kodaka in 16:46 with the Bloody Sunday to make his second defense of the title. Paul, this was a very good match. I thought that the whole point of this match of getting Sato a big win over an established veteran like Kodaka was a great move. Crowd was so behind Sato. And I'd go 3¾ stars on this. But I will say this. Kodaka does look rough in terms of he can still do everything, but it looks like it's physically hurting him when he does everything.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. So he is definitely, he worked hard to make this kid look good. There's no
question about
that. But it's just the way his movements and when he throws kicks and stuff, you're like, this guy's it looks like it's hurting him. He's running out of steam. But he pulled it together here, no question.
I mean, to be fair, his style is probably one of the most physically demanding styles out of any wrestler.
I mean, he's in his mid-40s by now, too.
Right? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Let's get his age here. 43. He'll be 44 in 9 days. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's no, that's not surprising that his body isn't really holding up well. If anything, I will say that's probably a testament to him that he actually managed to hold up this long, right? Because it's not just the deathmatch stuff, it's also that he was just taking massive bumps outside of just doing deathmatches, because he was just still wrestling this incredibly high octane physical style, whereas most deathmatch wrestlers just rely on the spots, but he wasn't doing that. So yeah, the fact that he managed not slow down until 40, like until his mid 40s is actually impressive. And it was always going to happen.
More so, like ever so slightly slowing down, but just moving really weird. I don't
know. Yeah. Right? That's the other thing. It's not even like he's washed up it. It's just more now. He's on the verge of it.
I mean, by just watching his body move, you know. Yeah. But he pulled it all together to make Sato look good, which is like the main thing of this, right? And so, you know, Sato. I mean, Sato's very solid. He's a little nondescript, to be completely fair, but he's always been a solid guy.
Yeah,
is a good choice. So. Then we have the main event for the Big Japan World Strong Heavyweight Championship. Daichi Hashimoto defeated Shuji Ishikawa in 22-33 with the triangle arm lock, the same sort of triangle arm lock that his father used to defeat Nobuhiko Takada in the Tokyo Dome. But actually, this match was great. I went 4.25 stars on it. Towards the end, Daichi got busted open, and it was a good little cut that covered his face. Shuji also worked hard to make him look good, and Daichi also turned it up from the perfectly passable Daichi see in other title matches to a hardworking Daichi, actually. So, you know, he was motivated here, hard hitting as you'd expect. Obviously not what Ishikawa was doing this very company, you know, 9-10 years ago, but he wanted to make him look good, and he definitely did that, and I strongly recommend. It's a little bit below match review level, but I still strongly recommend checking it out. Although I still think you should have put it on the big dog. You know, as I said, in the Discord, this was the fail son versus the big dog.
Yeah. No. I when I saw the results, I was like, okay, I know I would have put it on Ishikawa here. Don't think this really like I again. Well, Daichi isn't bad, but there's no excitement there.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And I think people might think, oh, Daichi, young guy. Well, that's not really the case anymore. He's had multiple strong title reigns. This is not Muto beating Kaito Kiyomiya for the
title. No, absolutely not. Like,
and you know, Daichi's established. So put it back on Tsuji for the nostalgia run, because God knows this company needs something fresh at top. And actually, yes, a 50-year-old Tsuji Ishikawa is fresh as the Japan strong world heavyweight champion. But it's different than Daichi. Yeah.
Daichi is 33. Like, he's well established at this point. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, that's why. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, maybe it's just a scheduling thing. Like, Shuji would have to make some appearances, at least for title defense and stuff like those, right?
Might also be that he doesn't want to do that many, like, big matches either.
Yeah, that could be it too, right? He'll do this, but he doesn't want to go and lose it to you. Because, you know, if they put him in there with Yuya Aoki, he's going to have to put his working shoes on again, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. Or I mean, he did hold the, what's it called again?
GHC Hardcore?
The Kyushu Pro title, actually, for like a decent while. But he defended it. He defended it once and then dropped it after that. So
did he drop it to, what's it, Kodai or whatever?
No. He won it from Kodai. Defended it against Kodai, and then lost it to Hitamaru Sasaki.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's interesting.
I don't think that show actually aired, now that I think about it. I don't think that was even one of the shows that made tape.
Ishikawa having a bit of a sneaky good year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, confounding some critics that had written him off. but I think it was more of also like a needed new scenery, because he was stale in All Japan, no question.
Oh, yeah. Like, there was nothing there for him to do anymore.
So that's Big Japan. I continue to make my way through it, but I'm only going to watch the big shows or shows with title matches because, God.
No. Like, it's depressing. Yeah, don't watch the house shows.
Watching them, the mid card or undercard of some of these. But, you know, there's some decent stuff going on, but I mean, there's just a big void. It's even worse than All Japan in terms of like, there's like nothing in the mid card. so our next thing is to Noah, but I'm going to bring this up here because I think this is relevant to Noah. But it was announced on NXT on Tuesday, NXT Homecoming. Charlie Dempsey's going to Japan for a month, and Paul, it's got to be Noah, right?
I mean, if not, then that really relationship is dead. Yeah,
unless he just really loves Hideki.
I mean, but if he's going to Noah, wouldn't they just have said it's Noah? Like, what did they specifically, like, did you see what they actually specifically said?
No, just that he said he was going to Japan for a month. I didn't watch it. I just read the, like, the...
I mean, like, again, right? That's what I feel like if they, because they do say, like, whenever Inamura pops up, they do say, like, oh, he's from Pro Wrestling Noah in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like, think that...
Wouldn't they just say Noah?
We were having all these discussions in the Discord. In the VOW Discord. And I think the point was, someone brought it up, and I'm sorry, I forget who it was, but it's like, WWE is too busy counter-programming AEW and doing AAA to bother to do much in Japan. And I think that's...
They very obviously don't give a shit.
Yeah. So, they're not going to be like, oh, he's going to Noah, or even think about that, like, they have to do that. So, that's all this is. And he's only going for a month. And I assume it's Noah. I assume he's going to be there by Wrestle Odyssey, because there's here's the thing, Paul. There is only 3 shows left in the N1, and then there's only 2 shows before Wrestle Odyssey that are after the N1. So
really, doesn't make sense for him to be there before Odyssey.
Do you think he shows up on the final show?
And
just wrestles. That would be a good place to debut him.
I mean, he technically, at least some people should know him, right? He shouldn't be a complete unknown because of his brief, like, because he's a former Triple Crown challenger.
Yes, he is a former Triple Crown. And then I think it's just like you debut him on the final show, because that's where you do an angle, and then you get him, although, I mean, it could be he actually starts in October, because that could be the case too, because, you know, there's like almost a 2-week gap between the first show in October and the last, the finals of the N1. So is he going to sit around he might sit around in the dojo for like almost 2 weeks. I don't know. I mean, that could very well be part of it.
But he's going to be there for October, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of what the general assumption is.
Yeah.
I mean, no, okay. That's actually not that many. No, it's only like 2 shows. I was like, maybe Great would be an option as well, but they only really won like 2 shows with the hookup through Nakajima.
Yeah, who knows? I guess I wouldn't completely dismiss that possibility either. Is he gonna get a title shot while he's there?
I mean, I don't want to say no, given that again he was immediately given a Triple Crown shot. Why would he get the shot before the N1 winner? That doesn't make... That's the thing.
No. The N1 winner gets it at Wrestle Odyssey, but they got a Cork and Hall on the 16th, 5 days later.
You can do like a national title shot for... I think national title. Gun to my head, I'm going to say like he gets like a national... If he gets a title shot, he gets a national title shot, not a GHC title shot.
Oh, you think so, eh?
Yeah. Because who else is going to get one? I don't think they really set somebody up during the N1 so far.
Yeah, that's true. Also, I suppose Galeno is probably going to end up in WWE.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, Galeno's going to go there too. So they're not going to have a problem with him like jobbing to a guy that they're going to probably have like in their system in like, I mean, realistically, maybe already next year.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It feels like he's getting his national title run now. Yeah, he could definitely be gone next year. I could see that. It would not shock me if he stayed another year and he was gone in 2027. But
I mean, he probably should be staying another year to get more seasoning. But if WWE like gives you a nice big contract, like it's hard, like especially because your brother's already there, probably hard to say no just to like be like, oh no, I need to stay here, make less money to get more seasoning.
The thing is, these days, I don't think staying an extra year is necessarily going to get you an appreciably larger contract.
And yeah, no, not unless you become like a big star with like New Japan, really.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just assuming this is all Noah and that's what he's doing. He's going to come in a tour, maybe get a title shot. I mean, I think he's a great wrestler. Miles above most of the other NXT talent. I mean, there's only a few guys in NXT that I would circle and being like, I think these are great wrestlers, to be honest with you. He's one of them. And then I really like Oba Femi. And then, oh my God, I forgot his name now. Who was in the tournament? Who's in the N1?
Taven Austin.
Yes, Tavion Heights.
Oh, Tavion Heights. Sorry, Taven Austin was a
quite receiver. So I would go Dempsey, Oba Femi, and Tavion Heights are the only NXT wrestlers that I have absolutely any interest in. And most of it because Femi and Tavion Heights are large men who throw people around in depth. He's a great technical wrestler.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So we go on to Noah itself proper for the N1. And Paul, we discussed this earlier. There's no way in hell I'm going through every fucking match this
tournament. Oh, God, no. This tournament is bad.
I can't believe
Noah and All Japan just fucked us like this.
I'm sorry. The Royal Road had lower lows, but I mean, this just had so many more matches to slog through.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But then again, they didn't give me 20 minutes of Zion versus Ayabe.
Well, you know, I that's not the worst. It's the Odyssey matches.
Oh, God.
Made my weird, like, let's give those 2.25 stars to Ren Ayabe and Zion.
it's like the reverse of the stair match, where like the stair match was only good if you watched it live and you didn't know that they were going to stare at each other for an hour.
I watched
it's terrible on VOD.
I watched the stair match live and I still hated it.
Fair. No, but like this one is like, if you go in and you expect it to be 20 minutes, I think it's less bad than being there in the moment and then just hear the 15-minute call and them not really looking like they're anywhere close to the finish and the color just drains from your like face and be like, oh no, oh no. So yeah, that's my take. But yeah, no, this tournament is also like, it's also a big slog to get through as well.
So I actually think the last couple shows had gotten a little better, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. So we'll start quickly. First night, 1548, Super No Vacancy, Full House. I'm not surprised. Paul, what did you enjoy on this match? Because I thought actually this first night was actually not bad at all.
No.
You know, Ozawa and Marufuji.
Yes. I think maybe the one that kind of is notable, and I think it's kind of more notable now in hindsight, is like the Fujita Sasaki match.
Yes.
I think in the moment, I think what I noted was like, oh, they really don't see anything in Sasaki when they're just feeding him like this to Fujita. I mean, Fujita went on kind of a run, but I think that's still kind of my take where like, I think they like, when they gave him the Nakamura match, they were like, yeah, maybe there's something here, but it feels like now they've just kind of, I'm just happy to just with him just
spoiler
being alert. A mid-carder. Yeah. With him just being kind of nothing.
I like that match though, because it was just like the shooters going quick, and that's probably the best way to do that style.
Oh yeah, no, that it was a fun match. I was just like, oh wow, like they just because that was one guy I had kind of like labeled down as like Fujita would be willing to drop to him because he's a shooter.
Yes, exactly.
And then Fujita just kind of squashes him in 4 minutes.
You know, Daiki Naba, Jack Morris, good for what it was. Hartoto Galeno, good. Ricky Knight Jr. versus Keno. I thought it was actually a good debut for Ricky Knight Jr.
It's just that there's not much there with him.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't seen much Ricky Knight Jr. prior to this, but what I will say is he's trying to wrestle a lot more simple, like doing a lot less of the, crazy British shit, for lack of a better term. So, you know, I think because he'd probably be botching shit. I don't know. But I mean, I think he's been completely inoffensive. And I thought his first match against Kenta was good. So we'll talk a second about Marufuji versus Ozawa. Marufuji did not try to catch him at all. Now, is this I'm too slow and old to move to catch him, or I don't want to be catching him doing that shit?
I think it might have been I think it might have been legitimately like he just wasn't able to get into position quickly enough.
Yeah,
because I assume if you do a spot like that, like
you have you've worked that before.
Yeah, exactly. That's not something Ozawa just does like basically just in the spur of the moment. It's just like, yeah, I'm gonna do this fucking dive like over the guardrail. This looked more like Marufuji just wasn't able to like get there in time, like because his knees are fucked.
Yeah, and so of course what's the name of the Ozawa injury?
Liz Frank.
Liz Frank, that's it. Thank you. Yep. So we're looking at what, 3-4 months, maybe more?
Yeah, that's what I mean. If it goes well, he might be able to come back in time for the New Year show. Mm-hmm. But it depends. Like that kind of stuff is always uncertain. But if it goes well, then he might be able to make it in time. But realistically, might also be that he's not back until the end of January or maybe like middle of February.
Well, he's the reason why I think he's probably maybe has a window or an idea of when he's returning is he's still working angles, Paul.
Yeah. Like, ironically enough, it looks like they're doing the same thing a year later that they did with him last year, only this time the injury is actually legit.
Well, it was legit last year too, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know. I still don't know if that one was legit or not, because it just kind of worked out too neatly. So
sure. But yes, so I mean, he could be turning face when he returns, or mm-hmm. he could just be returning and then looking like he's going to be a baby face and then, you know, return on someone and maintain his heel persona.
Like, yeah, he's a bit over right now. He's a bit over the top.
Yeah. Baby face, trying to be the baby face. Yeah. And just before we get to the top two matches, Master Kid Emiya versus Manu Busoya. Were you a little disappointed?
Yeah, there wasn't much there. That was definitely one where I was like, oh, it's going to be like two guys slapping into each other. And it was not bad, but it was also just kind of nothing really.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the best match of the show for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title. Hiromu Takahashi defeated Yohei in 1747 with the time bomb too. Somehow Yohei made four successful defenses of this title. Failed here on his fifth. And Hiromu is the 59th champion. And this was not touring Hiromu. This was serious. I want mm-hmm. to be a star Hiromu. And this was great.
Yeah. No, this was the best match of the tournament, which unfortunately it's not part of the tournament. Yeah, no, this was awesome. This was definitely like by far the best match of the on the show until like a like this. I think out of all of the matches that we watched for this batch, right? I think there's only one match that I think was better than this one. We'll get to that one later. I think it's you probably know which match I'm talking about there. But this was awesome. Like, I went 4 stars on this one. Yeah. It again showed that, like, Hiromu, when he wants to, like, obviously he's still great. I mean, I just saw him against Kyle Fletcher. I have a great match of Kyle Fletcher as well. So, no, I think he's going to be, like, I think it's good for the division. Who knows how long he's going to, like, stay around. And if I'm Noah, I'm making, like, a serious pitch to, like, try and poach him. Like, he could be a credible heavyweight in Noah.
Yeah, but if Naito, you know, once his stem cells or whatever set in, I think he took European booking too, hasn't he?
Yes.
If he waltzes back,
he's going to be at the like WXW shows like next weekend.
Are you going to go?
Yeah, I have the tickets right over there at hotel books and everything. I'm literally flying from a business trip to Ireland, not back to Berlin. I'm flying to Düsseldorf. So
is Owada-san going to be there?
I haven't seen an announcement for it yet, but I mean, he worked GWF, so I wouldn't be shocked if he's there.
Okay, but if Naito does waltz back into New Japan, which some people speculate it may eventually happen like next year, Hiromu's not gonna
probably not. But if I'm Noah, I'm at least, you know, poking it a little bit.
Quote with a contract quote. On sure.
Like, worst he can say is no, you know, and best case scenario, all of a sudden you have him. Massive star on your roster.
Yeah. So a good angle when this ended, because a bunch of the juniors came out, including Daiki Otoshima. But it was Ada that eventually came out and got the first challenge at a Wrestle Odyssey.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a big match, although maybe it doesn't feel like as big as it would have been a few years ago.
No, a few years ago, like, both men were bigger stars, to be honest. But yeah. I definitely think Ada star has, like, diminished more than Hiromu's has.
Oh, for sure. But it's Sumo Hall, and those are still two of the biggest names you've got that you can do in that. Matt, do you have a feeling for where this is going? Is this going to on January 1st, or is it going to be, are they actually going to make someone and use Hiromu? What you do when you bring in a big outsider?
I wouldn't even be shocked if Ata just wins it, to be honest. Because this could also just be a thing where, like, Hiromu did it because, like, the G1 was happening. They didn't put him in it again. So he was like, well, I don't have anything to do. So, you know, I'm going to, like, go wrestle in AEW. I'm going to go, like, wrestle a bit of Noah because you don't need me right now. And now the G1 is over. So he, like, because, again, he was supposed to win this belt earlier than this, right? Like, because Yohei got injured And so they had to do this match later. So realistically, this actually wouldn't have been a title match. This probably would have been like a title defense here. So
I
wouldn't be shocked if Ada wins it, but again, at the same time, I also wouldn't be shocked if like this goes to like the New Year show. I think that would be the smarter play. It's just the question whether or not he will be available for that or not. If New Japan is like fine with him, like wrestling in a big match 3 days before the Dome, basically.
Yeah. I don't think New Japan seems to really care about him much these days.
Yes, that's the reason why as Noah, I would poke him, but still, yeah.
Then we go to the main event. Kaito Kiyomiya defeated Kenta in 1349 with a Skywalk elbow. I mean, it was good as in like 3.5, maybe 3.75, but I felt like these guys were holding back, which makes me think that we got a rematch coming up soon.
Yes. Yeah. Oh no. Obviously. So hopefully that one will be better. I think this match was kind of emblematic of the general like effort level in the tournament, where like,
yeah,
I went in with fairly high expectations, and then this was just kind of there.
Well, this is actually on the top of my head now, so I'll bring it up so I don't forget about it later. Paul, do you think that Kenta wanted to be in this tournament, or they made Kenta work this tournament?
Okay, but if Kenta doesn't want to be in the tournament, then I wouldn't be like put the title. Like, I don't know if he demanded to put the title on him, but then
hasn't the GH, wasn't there one year that was it Kaito that sat at this tournament despite being the...
Somebody sat out the tournament as champion, but I don't remember who it was. It wasn't that long ago. I think we all were already doing the podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll look that up, but I don't think that's the worst. I think you could get away with that, especially, Paul, this is a short tournament that like lasts like 2 weeks in mostly small venues. You could have had Kenta sit it out because he's just not going to give you... I think we've established that the man can still have big matches, but you can't stick him out in a bunch of single matches in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You just can't do that, I guess. Does that make nominations? Unless
they were just like, yeah, we're just going to do this tournament and it's going to be real low effort, which seems to be the general vibe for the tournament. So,
yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's like, well, should we be mad at Kenta? But like,
no, I would be mad at him if everybody else was working hard and he wouldn't, but it's not like everybody else is working hard.
Yeah, for sure. He's not the only... Okay,
Jita is one of the hardest workers in the tournament.
I know. So obviously Ozawa forfeits all of his matches. Oh, I said this when it happened, and they should have just done it because as we'll get to later, you already see some wonky booking that I think because of Ozawa's injury.
Yeah.
Sugera could
have... You need to make these things sense, yeah.
Is Sugera really that anti... Maybe he really is that grumpy old bastard that refused. Maybe.
I think because the thing is they don't generally replace people after the tournament has started. Like, if you remember, like, last year, Go got injured before the tournament. Then they replaced him with Kotoge. And then when Kotoge got injured in his first match, they didn't replace him. So I think
that's
more of the thing where, like, no, the tournament has started. So that's why, like, if Ozawa had gotten injured on the show beforehand, I think they would have tried to find a replacement. But I think the general rule is once the tournament has started, you don't do replacements anymore.
They have replaced like not Noah, but like in Japanese tournaments, people have been replaced after the first match. But I guess that just hasn't happened in a while.
Yeah.
I would have. It's one match.
Yeah.
It saves you the headache of all that other stuff. Anyway, we go on to the second show on September 11th at Okayama Convention Center, first floor event hall in front of 420 fans. And Kazuyuki Fujita versus Daga was fun for what it was. but this is like all of a sudden, instantly, like, Soria versus Kenta was nothing.
Nope.
Kitamiya versus Kaito was not bad. It might have been the match of the show. And then Kenta and Marufuji was just a stupid finish of many stupid with the PFF.
Like, the match actually wasn't that bad. Like, I was actually ready to like praise Marufuji a little bit at least praise Kenta for like carrying Marufuji here. But then, the finish was really fucking stupid.
Yeah. And then Hiroshima Industrial Hall East Exhibition Hall on the 13th of September. I thought Jack Morris versus Naomichi Marufuji was shockingly passable.
Yeah.
I had very low expectations going into that. They allowed Kenta and Daga to go 13 and a half minutes for some unknown reason.
Yeah.
Oka Sasaki Masakinami was a stupid DQ.
Mm-hmm.
Fujita versus Soya had its moments, but it might have gone a little too long.
Yeah. Like I said, Fujita is one of the, like, I think one of the guys I've enjoyed the most in the tournament. But like, again, like, there's only so long you can go with him. So yeah. Before he kind of runs out of ideas.
Akros Fukuoka Event Hall on the 14th in front of 621 fans. Mara Fuji versus Inaba. Man, Inaba tried here. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Keno versus Jack Morris.
I would say is one of the best matches in the tournament.
Absolutely. Look, Jack Morris has been good.
Yes. I so far, he's my MVP of the tournament.
He has been sublime every time. And, yeah. Soya versus Endo, not bad. But again, like, I don't know. I want more out of that. And then Kazuyuki Fujita defeated Kaito Kiyomiya in 8:50 with the Beast Bomb. This was actually good.
I think this was actually really good.
But people were just shocked by the sort of like the brief length of the match and the definitive victory by Mr. Ironhead.
He did the full penetration pin as well.
Yes, he did. Ah, whatever. I don't care anymore.
At this point, it's Kaito is what he is. I don't think.
And it's not Kaito's been geeked out anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Fujita's not making the finals either. So I don't know.
No. Like, this, I think this is his high point of the tournament. And then he's going to be like, basically, like, lose a bunch.
Yeah. And then at Kumamoto Castle Hall, Civic Hall on the 15th in front of 538 fans, these attendances are middling, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, there's not much growth outside of Tokyo in this company. I don't want to, like, get on this. I'm not trying to say Ozawa's not a star, and Ozawa has not popped business. Well, also, he's been injured, so who knows? Maybe these attendances would be bigger if he was still in the tournament and then get more walk-up. But, you know, it's not like a noticeable bump at this company. Now, mind you, they're doing better than they were that CyberFight bought them with these house show numbers. I mean,
yeah,
it was like as recently as 2018, 2019. Paul, they were doing house shows like 150.
Yeah. Like, this is much better than that.
Yeah, but it's not like significantly, it's not like a ton of years either.
No.
Okay. Jack Morris versus Hartoki. Fun. Galeno versus Ricky Knight Jr. I can't even remember this match.
it was the Ricky Knight special. Like, basically, it was just like all of us. Kidamiya
versus Daga. Actually, not bad, I thought. But of course, Kidamiya wins.
Yep.
Keno versus Daiki Inaba. Good. You know. Kaito Kiyomiya versus Oka Sasaki, decent. And Tetsuya Endo versus Kazuyuki Fujita. He pinned him in 7 minutes with a crucifix hold. And Paul, was another shitty dumb finish.
This might have been dumber than the Mara Fuji versus Kaito finish, to be honest.
Was it a 450 or Burning Star press on him?
I think he hit the Burning Star press. Fujita kicks out and then gets rolled up in a crucifix.
No, kicks out at one, Paul.
Oh, yeah, kicks out at one.
And then, you know.
And then kicks out at 3.1. Kicks out at 3.1 on the finish as well.
Yes.
And then basically Endo has to, like, shoo Fujita out of the ring so he can, like, do his victory speech, because Fujita was just hoganing it up to, like, absurd degrees where he's just like, nah, I can't believe you beat me, brother.
Yeah. Oh, did we mention I hated Kenta versus Masa Kitamiya with the interference in the cradle?
Oh, that was so much interference.
Which was
on
the show on the 14th. Yeah, that was not good.
Yeah.
And I thought that might mean something because, like, Paul, I don't know if they're actually pushing Kitamiya or they just gave him a new gimmick to go into side of Team 2000X. Because it doesn't feel like it's like a hard, like, you could push him harder if that's what you're trying to do, is all I'm saying.
I don't know. I actually have a feeling that they might be, like, trying to go for it. I think he's getting a title shot at least.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like you could have pushed him higher. But anyway, so that we go to the most recent show on Osaka Edion number 2. We had Manabu Soya versus Daga, defeating him in 9:34 with a Dragon Sleeper. Perfectly acceptable wrestling. Ricky Knight Jr. defeated Daiki Inaba in 9:30 with the Rikishi Driver. I thought this was solid. Inaba also deserves credit in this tournament.
Yeah.
Just a solid workhorse in, like, the undercard. Naomichi Marufuji defeated Harutoki in 11:04 with the Shiranui. Now, excuse me, but I gotta say this. Harutoki I thought, has been middling. He needs to step up if he wants to be a star. But I actually thought this was one of Mara Fuji's better matches in the tournament. And I thought Roach worked hard here. Obviously wanted to work hard against the veteran, probably it was the inspiring thing.
And I think Haratoke is also one of those guys that Mara Fuji really likes.
Yes. So this is,
I think that helped, but I have to say, with Haratoke, I don't know, like, this is just kind of confirming my suspicions about him, where I'm like, he is a perfectly acceptable replacement level wrestler, and that's all he is. I don't think there's anything more here.
In his defense, no one needs perfectly acceptable replacement level heavyweights in the mid-card that are also not 50 years old.
Yes, no, they do. Like, I'm not saying don't put him in these tournaments. I'm just like, I think I'm ready to call it, where I'm like, I don't think he will be more than what he is right now.
Yeah, I mean, even his, that match with Go was not what it should have been, especially for the momentousness of the occasion.
If you or the match with Kaito afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and then we had Hiromu Takahashi and Amasuka defeating Ada and Daiki Odoshima in 11:22 with a time bomb from Takahashi on Odoshima. That was a lot of fun. Also, Paul, I forgot to ask, I haven't been watching these, but have you been watching the build of Los Copadores versus Alejandro and Fujimura?
No. I wasn't, like, I know I did it for, I know I did the, like, torturing myself with the undercard for the Royal Road. I didn't do that here. I just skipped straight to the...
I have heard the build-up matches to the junior tag title match, which will be on the Edwin final show. They've been actually...
Okay.
So, I haven't seen them yet, though. Galeno versus Jack Morris, fine, but they had to do the double countout for obvious reasons where...
This is definitely one of those where, like, the Ozawa injury, like, this is because of the Ozawa injury, they had to do this finish.
Well, also, Jack Morris is supposed to face Ozawa on the final block night.
Yeah. And he's getting that W.
He does
because of forfeit, so he gets 2 points.
So, Paul, I took these standings from Pearl Love. Are these got the forfeits already in them?
Let's double check what the NOAH website says. I think they might. Okay, it's taking forever to load. Oh no, there we go. Falling audio. I mean, give your take. So right now you think the standings are already in there. Okay, here we go. So here are the standings. So the Pearl of don't have them in them.
Oh,
but the standings on the NOAH website do. Because on the NOAH website, Jack Morris has 11.
Ooh, okay. So, well, let me ask you this, Paul. Is Jack going to the finals? Because I think it's not impossible, but what do you think?
I think he has a very good chance of going to the final. Because
well, at this point, it can only be Mara Fuji's not going.
No.
Kano?
I mean,
he's all the way at 6, but who else would they put in other than Marvin?
But Kenno only has one match left.
Oh, he does.
Oh, and yeah, Kenno only has one match left because the other one is the forfeit, right? Like, he has the forfeit from, like, Kenno only has one match left, so he can only get to 8.
So Kenno can't catch Jack Morris or Galeno then.
Actually, the only person, unless I'm completely wrong, the only person that can actually still catch Jack is Galeno. Because Galeno is on 9.
Morris beat Mara Fuji.
Yeah. Mara Fuji has one match left. He can get, but he gets 2 points, right? So, like, he's at 8 now, so he gets to 10. But Jack doesn't have any matches left.
He doesn't?
On the NOAH website, there's no match listed for him.
Okay, what about on the show on the Saturday?
Does he have a he doesn't. He's done. Like, he's done with his tournament matches.
And Galeno versus Mara Fuji is on the 20th.
Yeah.
And then on the 21st, what
it's Inaba. Is it Inaba? Yeah, I think it's Inaba.
Galeno versus Kenno.
Oh, Galeno versus Kenno, yeah. But who does Inaba have a match with left there? Wait, who's that?
Haratoke.
Oh, Haratoke, okay. Yeah, then they just show that one incorrectly then.
This makes no sense to me. I think he's going to send Mara Fuji through.
But Mara Fuji can only get to 10. He can't get to 11. He can't catch Jack.
No. Oh, right. Jack has 11, right?
Yeah. The only one that can is Galeno. Like, if Galeno, like, basically, if Galeno wins out, he's in. If he
and they have a double count
loses,
out, so it's...
If he loses one,
So... Okay, so it looks like the situation is it all comes down to Galeno versus Kenno.
Yeah.
And if Kenno and Galeno, if Galeno beats Kenno, then there has to be a playoff between Galeno and Jack Morris because they went to a draw in a double count.
Yeah.
So that's your that is your suspense in Block B, I guess.
Yeah. Block A, there's a lot more people like still alive. And
I think Morris is going through then. To be completely
I think Morris is going through. I think that's why they did the draw, because their math wouldn't have worked out otherwise.
Yeah. Also, Morris is over, and it just feels like the right story.
Yeah, he just turned face.
I have this idea that, but everyone seems to hate it, but Kitamiya versus Jack Morris.
Oh, they actually, sorry, on the Noah website, they actually listed out. So, like, I mean, as far as they have it here, Marufuji can still win. So basically, they have it like basically every like the only people not eliminated are Jack Morris, Galeno, and Marufuji.
Yeah.
And in Block A, the only people eliminated are Daga and Olga Sasaki, and everybody else still technically has a chance. But I'm just gonna send you the standings.
I know. I think in Block A, the leading candidates are Kitamiya and Kaido, actually.
Yeah.
Especially,
do you think they're going to send Kitamiya to the final?
It's a Corkin Hall show. That's probably already sold out.
Yeah, they could do it.
Right?
But then again, Kitamiya just lost to Kenta. So it's weird. Like, I mean, if you give him like, it's weird that he lost to him in the tournament and he's going to lose to him again.
Jack Morris versus Kaido would probably, Jack Morris versus Kaido would give you the best quality final.
That would be the best. Yeah, that would be the best match quality final. Yeah. And again, you could have Jack win straight up.
Yes. Yeah.
You could just have Jack win.
You're main eventing Sumo Hall with Jack Morris versus Kenta.
Yeah, that's true.
Endo.
Endo. Actually, I think Endo versus Kenta, I think, is a good option as well.
So Endo and let's change this. Kiyomiya and Endo are probably top choices for finalists, right?
At them against Jack, I think that's a good match either way, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is very interesting. But I mean, the tournament hasn't been okay. Like I said, a higher ceiling or higher floor than the Royal Road, but it's just so many more matches, it becomes much of a slog.
Yeah.
Because I would turn on an All Japan show and I only have to watch like two or three matches. You know.
Oh, actually, sorry, I'm just going to read out what Noah wrote about the current situation in A Block. Only Fujita has a chance of winning A Block on his own. So basically, like, if he just wins out, right? Like,
but I think
he's the only one that doesn't depend on somebody else losing.
I think Kitamiya is beating Fujita.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't think Fujita's going for it.
No. Also, that hates the story.
Yeah. And if Sawyer loses on the 20th, he's eliminated. And then this feels like them trying to like, okay, it's basically then Noah also kind of threw up the hands, because then they just go like, on September 20th in Hamamatsu and September 21st in Otsunomiya, there will be a ton of head-to-head matches between teams in the A Block advancement zone. This feels like them trying to sell people on buying tickets to the shows.
They've given up.
Yeah.
they're not big shows either. I mean, these are going to be 500, 600 max.
Yeah.
Yeah, they punted to the... Well, I mean, I guess we're still waiting on it. Going through. Could they say like, hey, look, we need to add some drama to this and have Galeno beat Kenno and then do the playoff?
It could also just be that Galeno just wins out.
Oh, Galeno can surpass Morris?
Yeah. If he has two matches left. Like he's on 9 now. He has two matches left. So he can just get, he's the only one that can still like get ahead of Morris, really.
Would they do an All Rebellion versus All Rebellion final?
So Kaito versus like, Galeno?
Yeah. I'm not sure how well some of those other guys would work. I would trust Kaito.
Yeah. No, I also don't think you want to put Galeno in that spot. Like, I think Morris feels like somebody, I think that's kind of earned the spot as well.
I agree. And it's not like Morris has to win either, but he gets the being a tournament finalist.
Exactly, like the Carl Ennis spot, basically.
The never ending, is he leaving?
Well, yeah, that too.
Is more likely to leave than Jack Morris right now.
Yeah, at this point, actually, you know, not that he's in the tournament and everything, and also with whatever weirdness is going on with like WWE signing European guys, because it doesn't look like Zozaya is going anywhere.
Yeah, but I thought Zozaya was in that class with Mike D and Aig LeBlanc.
Two are definitely leaving, yeah, because they've had like tons of like goodbye matches. But then Zaya had the goodbye match in Rescue.
Multiple goodbye matches, it feels like.
Yeah, because I think he's had a goodbye match in Rev Pro, but then he's now just still wrestling in Rev Pro regularly, so it's weird.
Like I said, WWE's distracted, right?
Yeah.
Got AAA, AEW kind of programming, and now taking Mania to Saudi.
Yeah.
So,
if anything, we're going to see a WWE Saudi Arabia before we see a WWE Japan.
So I feel like, what's the point of engaging in Europe, because it's not on your main battlegrounds or places where you're going to make tons of money? Like, why start up a NXT Europe if the Saudis are handing you like over $100 million for two nights of WrestleMania?
Exactly. And it's not like it's even working, because AEW still draws like it doesn't look like AEW has any interest of really going over there much more than they are currently.
Yes, they're not going like to Paris, they're not going to Berlin.
Yeah, even counter-programming them doesn't seem to affect their audience either, because they again just drew a massive crowd in London again.
Yeah. That is Noah. I'm going to go Kaito versus... I pick Kaito versus Jack. Finals.
I'm gonna go Endo versus Drag.
Okay, we'll see. I think the finals will deliver.
Yeah,
you know, of course. Watch us be like, watch us. Okay, we'll have a good finals and everything, but Jack announces he's leaving as soon as he loses the final.
It's very possible.
That's also very possible. But it just feels like he's not leaving.
No.
But when Zack Sabre Jr. announces a match against Tatsumi Fujinami, you're like,
Yeah, that's very obvious what's happening there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we shift back to All Japan. We start off on their show on September 6th at Light Cube Utsunomiya in front of 598 fans, which actually is not a bad little attendance for them on a house show level. Mm-hmm. And anyway, there's only two matches on the show to talk about. Daisuke Sekimoto defeated Odyssey in 10:30 with a horizontal cradle. This was not as bad as Hideki versus Odyssey, but it was close.
Yeah.
No good. No good at all.
Like, half of Odyssey's offense is doing a front roll.
I know. And it's weird.
Like, not even a cannonball. Literally just a, like, first day of training front roll.
Well, I mean, given his size, it sort of makes logical sense to a certain extent, as opposed to, if I don't know, Shotaro Shino did a front roll on.
Yeah. No, obvious. But still, like, I'm just like, that's as much as you can do. You can do a front roll. that's the extent of your like skill.
His scrap buster looks good, but there's not much else to it.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about something very scary in a bit that I think might happen though. And then round two in the main event. Kento Miyahara defeated Naoya Nomura in 2038 with the shutdown German suplex hold. Paul, this is like the worst match they've ever had. It was still good, but it was not Kento Miyahara versus Naoya Nomura.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
Like, this is like 3 3/4 versus every other match they've had is like 4.5 or 4 3/4.
Yeah. Like, these are two guys that had like basically like in 2019 had like my match of the year, and this was nowhere near that level.
The September one or the March one?
The March one.
Oh, I like the September one.
I think it's a general consensus, but like I love that March one just so much.
Oh, don't forget the day after the 50th anniversary show in Korakuen, after Nomura squashed Jake Lee.
Oh, God, yes.
But that was a great match, too.
Yes, that was amazing.
Yes. So, like, you know, they have their... we'll see this again, and it's not like I don't think they can do it, but again, you know, they did
what
they
did in front of
600 people.
Yeah.
So then we go on. Everything's all set up for the show on the 15th at Corken Hall. 1,469 fans, super no vacancy, full house. And I think this was selling decently, but I mean, this sold out because of Taishin.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people wearing green in the crowd as well. We got a very moving 10 bell salute. You know, most of the times when they come up to 10 bell salutes, it's like for some like 80-year-old wrestler that most of them had never met. This is a very different dynamic, not since Aoki's passing, in any company really. Something like this, and Zion was wearing a t-shirt that was like R.I.P. Taishin, and it had the book on it. And oh my God, the man is the biggest in the company.
Oh God, yes. No.
He is though.
Yeah. No, he is. Yeah. It's like I was like, geez, that. Yeah. That was really moving. Like his thing in general. Yeah.
Yeah, and Hideki and Kenta were in the ring doing the Tenbel salute. Obviously, Hideki was very close to him, mm-hmm. As we sort of pieced together and everything like that. So we begin the show for the All Asia Tag Team title. Very interesting choice of card positioning, but I think it was the right choice in the end. Musashi and Seki Yoshioka defeated Yuma Aoyagi and Atsuki Aoyagi in 14:02 to win the title, even though that the Aoyagi brothers had not made a successful defense. Which mm-hmm. I thought was a little surprising, but you know what? This was still a great match. A little bit of that shut up, stop this from Yuma in the first few minutes, but then this got real good. And Yoshioka and Musashi worked their asses off here.
Yeah. No, I really like the edge and everything that Musashi and Yoshioka have, where they were just fuck off Yuma and just went right to business essentially after like a little bit of like Yuma trying to do comedy. And no, I think they're going to be good champions. So
yes,
yeah, and they're going to be in a real world tag league as well.
Yes, they are. We'll talk about that in a second. Truly a bizarre strategy they have gone with.
Yes,
with announcing half of the teams now, and then they're going to announce the other half later mm-hmm. for reasons that I do not know. Well, no. Okay, you want to hear my theory about this?
It's Charlie Dempsey's in the tournament?
No, it's because Ray is injured and they had to scramble to figure
out. To put together find whoever's going to team with June. Yeah.
Find whoever's going to team with June. And then maybe also the pressure is because, you know, your top drawing tag team is out.
Yeah.
You might want some like more outsiders with some sort of name value.
That's yeah. But yeah. I don't even know who you could get, but yeah, we'll see.
Okay. So, then we move on to the semifinals. Kento Miyahara versus defeated Daisuke Sekimoto in 5:07 with the Samson Clutch. Perfectly good little opener. I mean, obviously not what you would want from these two, but hey, you know, we knew this was going to be a short match.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I actually dislike these. Like, we do the semifinals and the opener of the final show because they're always like this because they have to be. Yeah.
And Kento's in so many of these semifinals.
Yes, I've seen this match. This exact, like, people talk about Kento having a formula. It's like, if you think Kento is a formula for main events, Kento has, like, a formula that he does beat by beat every single time for these semifinal matches.
Yes. And then in the second semifinals, Ryuki Honda defeated Renai Abe in 9:08 with the final vent. I actually thought that this was pretty good for a 9-minute match. Mm-hmm. Especially with Ayabe, and they just got down to business, and technically it was one of the better matches.
Yeah, that's a bit of an indictment of the tournament, but I can't disagree with you there.
Yeah.
Also, again, it always looks impressive when like Honda does the final event on like a big guy.
Of course. And I mean, look, did I have a fear that they were going to send a certain winner from last year into this finals? I did, but I felt like they have set up this Honda storyline that we're going to be okay. And I was right.
Yeah.
So next up was Davey Boy Smith Jr., Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, Kurosu, Tokyo, Japan, and Sego Tachibana in some really wild outfits. defeating Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, Ryo Inoue, and Shota Kofuji in 9:58 with the crab hold from Doi on Kofuji. And it was a perfectly solid match. The best way I can describe Sego Tachibana's pants are as we have Okada pants at home.
that's kind of what they looked like. But honestly, I have to say I wasn't really paying attention during this match.
Yeah, it was perfectly fine. What I would say, okay, so this is where I'm going to make a quick aside. I couldn't help but notice, as we're talking on Kofuji, he seems to be a regular now. But Rhea Igarashi, who is another young guy who I think debuted at the beginning of 2024 and Kofuji debuted at the end of 2024 in Osaka mm-hmm. Style Wrestling. He's announced he's going freelance in October.
Ooh. So you another guy that could snuck in here?
Well, I think they should, but do you think that has anything to do with it?
I mean, it could be, but if I would have like, I would have expected Kofuji to be the one that like goes freelance, but maybe that's also the thing where maybe he sees Kofuji doing some stuff. And he's like, maybe I have better chance outside of OSW. Yeah.
If you know, or something like that, right? You know, he only debuted in December. So his contract might be up in like you know, the end of the year or something. This is a somewhat difficult issue to broach because of, you know, Tyson's passing, but All Japan is kind of now in a bad situation for young guys because Tyson's gone. Tarada retired before even debuting, I think, from a passion or something, who was Tyson's dojo mate. There was another guy that was at ringside for a while, but he seems to have disappeared.
Yeah.
And now they are doing, I can't remember the date, but they are doing recruitment this fall. I don't know if what's happened to Taishi is going to affect the crop of guys they got trying out, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Not a good look for the company, obviously. So, you know, if you can get this Kofuchi and Igarashi, I mean, I think you just take them and they become your new young.
Yeah, I think that's the best solution here because I don't know, like the, I mean, we had like a nice crop basically with like Inoue and Anza and everything, and then but then we haven't really had much since them aside from Taishin, and now there just seems to be nobody else in the pipeline. So yeah, you do need to, like, the best thing to do is to just get people that are already trained and just kind of plug them in on the undercard.
I mean, these guys are fresh. Kofuji is less than a year in. He's like 9 months in.
Yeah,
and
he's really good for that.
And like and Igarashi's like a year and a half.
Yeah,
you know, that's, you know, take him and mold them. That's like what they did with Honda. You know.
Yeah. Only in this case, OSW still exists as opposed to them. Taking Honda after WrestleOne dies.
So then we go to Baka no Jidai versus Havoc. And yes, Baka no Jidai still exists.
Somehow, for some reason, yeah.
Hideki Suzuki, Hikaru Sato, and Kengo Mashimo defeated Shotaro Oshino, Zion, and Odyssey in 11:01 with an elbow from Suzuki to Zion. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Because Suzuki and Zion just got into a forearm elbow battle. This turned out to be obviously a tribute to, right, where they raised each other's arms, embraced, and everything like that. So they were just hitting each other really hard. So it is what it is. Actually, it kind of got into it after a while because it's like, what are these guys doing? So that was your tribute. But Paul, what are the chances that Zion or Odyssey are going to win these tag titles now?
It's possible, right? Because they're in the because we know they're in the Real World Tag League as well.
Yep.
So I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't do it, but I can't rule it out, unfortunately.
Well, of course I wouldn't do it either. Yeah, it's just.
But the problem is Havoc's really over.
They are, yeah. And Zion is only getting himself more over with this Taishin tribute stuff, right? I mean, live vicariously, you know, give something to the fans to cheer them up for everything that's happened, right?
I mean, I wouldn't even have an issue if it was Ishino and Zion winning titles.
Yes, that's different, right?
So, yeah, it really is. Like, I really don't want Odyssey to be a champion, and I think that would suck.
Yeah, but just keep that in mind, but hopefully they do the right thing. And then semi-main event, Jun Saito, Yuma Anzai, who got a huge pop coming out, and Rising Hayato defeated Suwama, Dan Turma, and Naoya Nomura in 11:57 with the jackhammer from Saito on Tamura. This is good six-man tag match, but there was absolutely zero reason that Jun Saito should have gotten the win here.
Yeah, no, it should have been Anzai. Like, that was like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Are you really think that Jun Saito is a...
Nah. I mean, to be fair, he is the current Triple Crown champion, but then don't put them in the same match. So, but it also was very clear, like, that this promotion needs Anzai as well. So,
oh god. At first I was like, then it's not doing so bad without Anzai, and then it's like, they need Anzai.
Yeah, they really need him. So I really hope that he's going to be in like a big meaningful thing at the like New Year show. I think should be in the main event. We'll see if he will be.
And then main event in the 12th Royal Road Tournament, Kento Miyahara defeated Ryoki Honda in 16:11 with the shutdown suplex hold. And much like the Cherry Carnival 2020, this tournament was saved by the final.
Yes, it was.
And this is pretty damn awesome. I don't think this is necessarily like the peak of either of these guys, but it was close.
Yep.
And, you know, they teased so hard that Honda was going to win this too. I thought that was a really strong part of this. And I thought, you know what? He really could, I thought. I know that he just challenged, but they did a good job of thinking that he might pull this off. But ultimately, I'm okay with this right decision. And I think this just adds more fuel to the ultimate Honda Royal Road victory that should happen next year. Don't miss the Kawada this.
No.
Don't wait too long.
I do think it's winning. Yeah.
Next year is
the time. I do think it's winning. Yeah.
Because that's, is that three in a row he's lost finals?
He lost.
Yeah, I guess Kojima and then Ayabe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. He did lose to Kojima, yeah.
Kojima, Ayabe, and then now Kento.
Yeah.
He should win it next year.
Yeah. Like, and the crowd really wants it as well. And I mean, Dave, the way they built that match, like, they also teased it, like, so heavily, too. But, like, Kento didn't even really get that much of, like, a comeback. Like, I think he hit, like, one knee, then tried to go for the shutdown. Honda breaks out, and then Kento just immediately just, like, grabs him and just hits the shutdown as well. Like that was basically, like, Kento in, like, full desperation mode, where he was just, like, ah, shit, this guy broke out. No, I need to just hit him with this now, because if I don't, I'm fucked. So I think they teased that very heavily. Where, like, I wouldn't even be shocked if this is the final again next year, right? Nope. Where they just run this back as the final next year, and then Honda just beats him. Or they even redo the spot where, like, Kento grabs him again, and then Honda breaks out, hits him with the final.
He's already beaten Kento in this tournament, so I don't think it necessarily has to be Kento.
No.
It would be probably your best bet. So before we go and we talk about this show on the 23rd, let's quickly go through the first six teams of the Real World Tennis League. And I believe it's going to be two blocks of six, but they didn't actually say which blocks these teams would be in. So we've got Davey Boy Smith and Kento Miyahara.
Yeah, I'm disappointed by that.
Well, Paul, I think it opens up a very tantalizing alternative.
Okay.
Hideki Suzuki and Kengo Mashimo.
Mm-hmm.
Haruto Omori and Kumo Arashi.
Yeah.
I mean, Talos.
Yeah, I am actually I'm really intrigued how they're going to do, to be honest. That's like... Yeah.
Could be fun. Could be a disaster.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know which way to go with. Like, with these giants, like, it could be absolutely horrific, or it could be like, oh man, these guys are actually awesome.
Zion and Odyssey, as we mentioned before. And then Musashi and Seki Yoshioka. We've got a calendar, which is 8 shows from November 22nd to December 10th. Obviously, it begins at Corken Hall and ends at Corken Hall. And I do not see anything particularly interesting on this. Is the Kumamoto City Food Exchange Hall the famous food market?
I think that might be the food market. Yeah. I mean, in that case, you have to have, like, Talos and Ren Ayabe win, and you give him, like, two big slabs of, like, beef, right?
Yes, of course you do. So the mystery remains, who's June teaming with? Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be against just sticking Naruki Doi with him.
I think that's the most likely option, to be honest, is Doi. But like, Paul, it just depends if Doi wants to do that.
Kento and Davey Boy means we could get Aoyagi and Nomura as a team.
Oh, yeah. Which I think, again, is very likely, because that's what they're doing.
Let's talk about this show.
Yeah.
The show that was, first of all, I thought this was a pretty good show, especially by current All Japan standards. I mean, this is what I was talking about, conflicted. I was like, damn, that was a good show. This company feels like it's going somewhere again.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, right. But, you know, with Taishin and everything, it's like, oh, God. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, but, like, aside from that, it was kind of a bounce back in a weird way that, like, All Japan needed, like leaving that tragedy aside, like, they needed some sort of thing to, like that show, I think, in a weird way, and injected some energy into them.
I should also note that Kento, in his post-match celebrations, he held a picture of Taishin Nagao with him the entire time, paid tribute to him, and on the cover of Shoe Pro this week was, you know, Kento kneeling with the trophy and that picture of Taishin.
Yeah, but was a really nice touch.
A consummate professional.
Yeah.
Okay. So Arena Tachikawa Tachihi, which is in Tokyo. I think it is like if I'm not mistaken, it's that like western part of Tokyo outside of the special wards.
I think so.
It's a basketball arena, and we can all figure out who found this place.
Yes. How many basketball arenas are there?
It's at the west end of Tokyo outside the special wards. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it's all the way out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows how many people are going to show up. Is there an airport next to that? Oh, there's a military airport next to it.
excuse me, self-defense forces.
Yes, sorry. They don't have a military. Sorry, I forgot.
let's just take a quick look at the. So I'm taking a look at the tickets here, and I thought they were moving a bit. I mean, we're still 5 days out, but okay. So we've got, five tiers of tickets. So the premium seats at 20,000 yen and the special ringside at 12,000 yen have been sold out. All other sections triangle. So
okay,
it'll be decent.
Yeah, I mean, if everything else triangle, like that's a good sign. Like if you have sold out tickets and then everything else, like including the cheap seats, are triangle, that's a really good sign. Yeah.
I mean, they usually do sell. If All Japan can't sell its premium and ringside tickets out, then it's going to be a bad attendance.
Yeah.
So we've got, to begin the show, Shotaro Shino, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Seki Yoshioka, Fuminori Abe. Oh, Paul, I'm sorry. Before I do this, we got to talk. Takuya Nomura, I totally forgot to put it in the run sheet. He has kidney failure right now. And yeah, my thoughts are with him. I mean, just obviously an incredible talent. And I mean, it sounds like, you know, probably he's going to have to get a transplant or something. So I don't know if he'll ever wrestle again, to be complete. That's really
terrible. Yeah, that would be a shame if that's like how his career ends, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it did say that dialysis is not necessary yet, so
yeah,
it doesn't seem like it's critical, at least.
Yeah. On the next Fighting Detective show, they are doing also Muhammad Yone and Yuki Ishikawa versus Daisuke Ikeda and Ikuto Hidaka.
Yeah, which that actually...
Incredible.
Yeah.
Actually. I just totally forgot to put that in the run sheet, and then I thought of it when I saw Abe's name.
I actually, before I was like, we need to put that on as well. And then I also forgot to tell you to put it on. So.
Yeah. So much has happened this past week. I mean, these big Japan guys, I know he left big Japan, but there's a bit of a curse of these top.
No, they definitely are. Yeah.
Sakamoto's injury, Okabayashi's hiatus, quote unquote, if that's what you want to call. Bad luck.
Young boy getting like screwing up his knee by like lifting Hama.
Oh god, was it the Asakawa guy?
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay, I didn't hear about that.
Oh, did you not hear about that? No. That's why he's been off big Japan shows. He like, I think he tore his ACL trying to lift Hama on a spot. Yeah.
Oh my god, that is so bad. Cause
he was somebody they had like I think a lot of their hopes like on.
Oh yeah, they're pushing him hard.
And he's gonna be out for like a year. Okay. Yeah, basically.
Well, I'm gonna still watch Big Japan for now anyway. okay, they're facing Renai Abe, Rising Hado, Ryo Inoue, and Shota Kafuji. So that could be a nice little opener. Paul, this is the only negative spot on this show because everything else looks great. But we got a KRTV title battle royal, which is Takashi defending against Hokuto Mori, Kuma Arashi, Aizawa number one, who might be like the worst wrestler they use, actually. Kuroshio, Tokyo, Japan, Sego Tachibana, Naruki Doi, Senor Saito, and Kikutaro.
Yeah, I mean, that's to go do something else during that match.
I'd expect Takashi to retain, in all honesty.
Might as well. Because I don't really see a point of putting it on any of these other guys. Like,
well, Sego, but that's it. Because you can't go wrong with
Sego
being the champion.
True.
And then, next up, a rematch that I've actually very eagerly awaited for. The Pro Wrestling 2025. The, in all caps, Daisuke Sakamoto versus Dan Tamura. And I love their last match.
Yeah, no, this is going to be fun, yeah.
Yeah, now that was before Sekimoto's injury. I mean, I don't know. Sakamoto hasn't done much. He just looks like 40-something-year-old Sakamoto. But I'm curious against him with an opponent that can, you know, go.
And I mean, it's the only other singles match on a fairly big show as well.
Yeah. Next up, Paul, since we're on the topic of Daisuke Sakamoto, before I announce this match, I want you to get the image of the famous image of Daisuke Sakamoto wearing that t-shirt and flexing that says, I'm hard. Because we have Yuma Anzai and Ryuki Honda versus Yuma Aoyagi and Naoya Nomura.
I mean, there's no way this isn't going to rock, right?
This is what this company could be.
Yeah.
Got his shit together. Right.
They didn't randomly split up new peer. Well, okay, they put them back together now, so I'm gonna forgive them.
I mean,
so.
These two, but both of these. I'm sorry, but both of these teams have to be in the Real World Tag League.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like both of them being here, Like, I think that's like just the biggest spoiler ever that they're gonna be in. Like, because why the fuck would you put this match on the show if they're not gonna be in the tournament?
And Paul, with the Saitos out,
yep,
you'd be stupid not to make this the Real World Tag League Finals.
Yeah, that's, oh man, you actually took away what was going to be my hot take. This is just going to be a preview of the final, basically.
Unless you got like FTR or the Young Bucks in the Real World Tag League, there is no argument that this should not be the final.
Yes, absolutely.
And maybe the winners here will be the signal of, you know, who gets their win back in the finals.
That might actually be a good option, yeah.
I don't even have a preferred choice here. I think, because Nomura's already beat Honda in a singles match.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know what? I think you have Yuma and Nomura win here, or Aoyagi and Nomura win here, and then mm-hmm. Anzai and Honda win the Real World.
Yeah, and that was actually going to be my take as well, because I think, as much as I love like Yuma and Nomura, I think it now needs to be the time. Now that you put them back together, now is the time. And with Rei Saito out as well, like you just make like Yuma and Honda like dominate the tag team division.
Unless a certain Anzai is going to be in the main event of.
Okay, but here's the thing: like it's not like All Japan doesn't do this regularly, where the Triple Crown champion is also the tag team champion.
Yeah, that's true. So. Okay, so here's another thing. If Nomura signs on the dotted line again, mm-hmm. is he getting a Triple Crown reign?
Yes.
Is he a demand one?
If they do sign him to a contract, I do think he's getting the belt, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll have to wait. That will not be settled until January.
Yeah. You're going to see me like dance in Currican Hall if that happens.
Yeah. Although the funny thing is, I expect Yuma Aoyagi, the one to be eating the pin in the Real World Tag League Finals.
Yeah.
I would protect Nomura for now.
Yeah, I would make Yuma can take some pins, it's fine. And they're not going to be I don't think they're even going to be taking a lot of pins, because I think they're going to be fairly dominant.
Yeah. And if this is the final, they'll be in separate blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, that Real World Tag League could be pretty good. Because these guys could have good matches against shittier opponents, shall we say?
Yeah.
So, you know, depending on how things shake, I mean, it's, I don't know, mid is what I'd call the current lineup announced, but you could turn into real good, real fast.
Yeah, it depends what they announce in the second half. I mean, if they add these two teams to the tournament, that's already a massive improvement, and then who knows who else is there.
Yeah.
Because those were like all of the really obvious teams, right?
So, yeah. also, well, who's left of the heavyweights that doesn't have a team? Ishino?
Ishino doesn't have one. I guess maybe because they said it, then.
Okay, listen to this. You add Honda and Anzai, Aoyagi and Nomura, and Ishino and Tamura. That's like, you know.
Unless you want to add like a new guy to Havoc or something.
Yeah. That could also be possible. Killer Cross. No, I'm joking.
keep your eyes on Arena Tachikawa.
So that's three teams, but you're running out of regulars.
Yeah. That's why I'm actually kind of curious who else is going to be there, because we need like three more teams after that.
Yeah. Watch them just do Anzai and Hayato and the Aoyagi. Not that those aren't good teams, but...
Yeah.
This is the maximizing it.
But then you can't just leave Honda out of the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Who's Honda going to take? I would not be shocked, though, considering, you know, this is All Japan. Money is an object. They just throw Hayato and Atsuki as a team.
Yeah, I actually was going to suggest that, to be honest, because it seems like they're willing to, like, put juniors in this tournament. So
it depends on the budget, I guess.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, this tournament could become amazing if they are not idiot. Mm-hmm. And this match is going to be amazing. But it's only the fourth from the top, because we've got three more matches. We've got, for the PWF World Junior Heavyweight title, Atsuki Aoyagi versus Musashi, which, you know, I have pretty reasonable good hopes for. Musashi, I think, has gotten better over his length of his All Japan run. And then for the World they should have the juniors ahead of this.
Yeah. Can't have a main event with this.
Also, more... yeah, just terrifying idea of title change, yeah. Remake of the semi-main. Okay, world tag title. We already mentioned this. Hideki Suzuki and Kengo Mashimo versus Zion and Odyssey. I mean, look, I don't know what Mashimo can get out of these guys because we know Hideki can't do shit.
Or doesn't want to, yeah.
Or doesn't want to, even though he brings these guys in and it's mind-boggling. Yeah. I mean, look, that he worked hard against Zion in that very simple, you know, elbow thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I mean, maybe, but yeah, I don't have high hopes for this match.
No. And then in the main event for the Triple Crown, Jun Seto versus Kento Miyahara. And this will be Kento's second challenge, just like Yuma Aoyagi had his second challenge. Paul, there is absolutely no justification for Jun to retain this.
Yeah. Also, how Even many...
Also, less of a justification for him retaining over Aoyagi, too.
Yes. Because also, how many lost Triple Crown matches would this be for Kento in a row? Like, it's five. We're on five or something, right?
Yeah, he lost a Triple Crown in February of 2023 to Yuji Nagata and hasn't held it.
Oh, Jesus. Wait, really? Has it been that long?
Yeah, 2.5 years.
Yeah, so he lost to Yuma. Yeah, then it has to be more than five almost at this point.
He lost to Nakajima. He lost to
Yuma. Yeah.
He lost to Anzai. He lost to Jun Saito.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of loss. Like, for a guy that is, like, kind of maybe still the ace, I guess, probably. It's either him or Anzai. Like, yeah, he is still the ace. Maybe not for much longer, but still, like, that's a lot of, like, title matches for Erase to lose. So, no, I think he absolutely, like, has to win here. I don't think there's no reason to really continue the June reign. Like, especially now that, like, Ray is out injured, so he can't even run back, like, brother versus brother. So, like, there's just zero reason to keep the belt on Jun Saito.
But, Paul, I simply cannot feel confident to say, oh, Kento is winning.
I don't know. I feel like I've said that every single time Kento has challenged. Well, maybe unless, like, maybe not the Jun challenge. I think for all of the other ones.
It's not even about Kento per se. It's about this damn title reign.
But, like, what's the end goal if he retains here?
Anzai versus Jun Saito at New Year's?
I guess.
I'm running out of options here.
Yeah.
Look. If you have Kento win, you can get him. They got another Korakuen coming up in early October. And then they've got the Hokkaido tour. So that's a couple of defenses. And then the Real World Tag League. And then New Year's.
Yeah.
I don't really see what you've got, especially given the sort of year that they've had, other than Anzai versus Kento. Or maybe even Nomura versus Kento. Or Yuma, Aoyagi versus Kento. Those are the two dark horses.
Yeah, so but they're all Kento matches, right? Like this, there isn't really one for like, yeah.
There's no
Jun has beaten everybody. Jun has beaten everybody. There's nobody there.
Just, yeah.
So that's why, like, it just doesn't make any sense for Jun to retain here.
No, it doesn't. And those are your options for New Year's. Now, Paul, my question is: if Kento wins, do you have him with another extended title reign, or do you get that belt back on Anzai at the end of?
I think you can actually keep it off of Anzai a little bit long. I would put it on him next year.
Yeah.
I would have him lose. I would have him lose New Year's. I would have him win the Champion Carnival and beat Kento after that.
I think that works. He's due for Champion Carnival victory.
Yeah, because then you can also again you like presumably like the way we have it laid out, right? He wins the Real World Tag League. He loses the Triple Crown match, but then he wins the tag titles, carries those for a bit, then wins the Champion Carnival and like takes it off of Kaito.
And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe we could save this for like an end of the year episode, but 2026, is it time to belt up Honda?
Yeah. I think he wins the Royal Road and then beats Anzai.
The only interesting thing left in this equation, though, is if Nomura signs, where does he fit in all of this? And I can't believe that he would not say that about me.
Yeah, I don't know where he would fit. But then, like, I mean, if he signs, do you then have to immediately put that? Like, I said he's going to win the belt, but do you have to then immediately in the first year put it on him? He could probably wait another year, right?
Body holds up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like there are some interesting options here. Like I feel like, but they're only interesting options if you take the belt off of June.
Yes, that's the main point.
Yeah.
So summing up, N1, meh.
Yeah.
Big old meh.
Yeah.
I have some confidence in the finals.
Yeah.
All Japan, I mean, they could be turning a corner here, but they might not. I don't know.
Yeah. There's the whole legal situation as well, but that's going to take a while to get like untangled. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, Paul. I was like hoping that Fukuda would
be. He might still be. We don't know.
Yeah, I know. We'll see where that goes and everything like that. But I mean, look, Nomura back in the mix, Anzai back. You know, they could look. There is opportunities to be seized if a smaller company wants to step up. Now you probably need some money to do that, but you know, New Japan is treading water. I think there's a thirst for young talent, and despite the very lackluster year that All Japan has had, it still has some incredible young talent.
Yeah.
So
they just need to make use of it. That's the thing.
And everything like that. So, you know, this is sort of a hard episode starting off with Taishin and everything. Mm-hmm. And just want to again say my thoughts and his family and everything like this. And, you know, it does feel weird to sort of enjoy wrestling, but I mean, life does go on and, you know, from these sort of things. And it's watching wrestling that sort of get, you know, especially because of how wrestling is such a fucked up business, right?
Yes.
It's just the tip of the iceberg of tragedies. Yeah. Yet through all of this, even through all of those deaths in the 2000s and Benoit and everything, I never stopped watching wrestling. And I'm not going to stop watching wrestling, but I am going to take some time to reflect and just, you know, remember, you know, the sacrifice that the people in this business make and everything. And they really do put their life on the line. I know this was an out of the ring accident, but they really do put their life on the line every step in the ring, because the most anodyne or inane moves have led to permanent injury.
Yeah.
In like freak accidents and everything like that. Like, right. We just had Takayama Mania, you know, another example, which I didn't see anything of because they aired it on Abima. If that shows up on Wrestle Universe or something, I will take a watch of that and report back. But just remember. Mm-hmm. So we will see you in a couple of weeks and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.